And now the Whistler strange story, The Great Zantini.
It was 5:30, the rush hour. But the traffic around the intersection of Maple and 19th Streets was at a standstill. A crowd had gathered, and the excitement grew as all eyes were trained on a tiny figure of a man, balanced precariously on a building ledge 14 stories above the street.
Look at him! He's got a jump!
Officer, why don't they do something?
All right, back everybody. We're handling it. There's two men on their way up there to stop him. Now move back there.
Yes, Joe, even from your lofty perch high above, you can hear the gasp from the crowd. Picture the startled fright in the upturned sea of faces. It's amusing, isn't it? Society is terrified that one of its members wants to resign.
Hey, you! Get off that ledge! Get back inside!
The shout of a policeman prompts your next move, doesn't it, Joe? You edge your way to a corner of the building, move around it to a window, and pull yourself through. Inside, you hurry along a corridor to a linen closet. Close the door carefully. Bury yourself beneath the soiled laundry just in time.
That was the window, Carson. Come on, let's have a look.
All right, with you.
It's perfect, isn't it, Joe? They'll find that the would-be suicide has disappeared, changed his mind. And before too long, they'll give up the search and the crowd below will go away. No one will be there to see a man fall 14 floors. Only that man won't be you, will it, Joe? Because you have no thought of suicide. You're thinking about a murder. Yes, Joe. A murder that will be called a suicide because of your little performance out there on the ledge. A murder that had its beginning several days ago with another performance in another high place. It was just a week ago, to be more exact. And there was another excited crowd, too. But they weren't looking at a potential suicide, were they, Joe? They were looking at you, the Great Zantini, featured performer of Stedman's Giant Circus.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Stedman Circus invites you to turn your eyes up into the sky, 150 feet over the center of the ring. Performing without the use of a net, Zantini, King of the High Wire, the Great Zantini. And now, closing his death-defying act, Mr. Zantini, a discoverer of the late Colonel Stedman himself, will attempt a daring backward flip. A thin halfing steel wire between Zantini and certain death.
Here he goes! Oh, you here, Harry?
Yeah, I'm here, Zantini. How did it go for you tonight? Give them the thrill of their lives?
Yeah, you still hear them cheering, don't you? Oh, what about you? Oh, is the elephant dead?
Dead. What do you think? I had a high-powered elephant gun. The poor, dumb beast was chained in front of me. No, I didn't miss. But I wish I had.
Well, you're an animal man, Harry. All trainers are sentimental. But the elephant was a killer. We had to get rid of him.
Sure. A killer. Just because we found old Colonel Stedman's crushed body within 10 feet of him, that makes the elephant guilty.
Well, you got an idea it might have happened some other way?
No, I suppose not. Only if it had been a man, he'd have got a trial instead of a blast from an elephant gun.
Oh, forget it. Let's have a drink.
Sometimes I think you've got ice water in your veins, Joe. I don't just mean killing the animal. But it doesn't even seem to matter to you about Colonel Stedman.
Hey, skip it. Here's your drink.
Okay, Joe. We'll drink to you, huh? And maybe to Mrs. Stedman.
What's Florence got to do with it?
Nothing. Only she's waiting for you down at the train. The office car.
I guess she wants to talk to me about things. I'll change and get down there.
Yeah. Yeah, do that, Joe. You've got nice broad shoulders for a widow to cry on.
But now, look, Florence, you've got to get hold of yourself. I know how you must feel, but Colonel Stedman would want you to keep going.
Joe, I can't stop thinking about his dying that way. You know, he bought that elephant himself 10 years ago from the McCready Show. Mm-hmm. It was the same year that he rescued me from a carnival act.
I remember.
You remember? Joe, elephants are supposed to remember.
Yeah.
I ordered him shot. Too bad he couldn't have told us, Joe. Told us what happened that night. How the colonel really died.
You're not making sense. The elephant trampled him. That's all. He got excited and trampled.
I can't believe it. Hey, Joe. Joe, what am I going to do?
Do? Why, you'll just go right on. What else?
The colonel ran things so easily, perfectly. I can't run a circus.
Oh, sure you can. I'll be around. I'll help you, Florence.
Oh, Joe, would you mind? The extra work, I mean, performing and telling me what to do about...
I'll take over all the way if you want. A guy can't walk a tightrope all his life.
You're good for me, Joe. What I need.
Oh, sure, but this will do me good, too. I won't mind looking after the business end of things for a change. I won't mind at all.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks a lot. I feel better now.
Sure. Why, it'll be a breeze. Incidentally, one thing we need right off is a new animal man.
You mean get rid of Harry?
Yeah. I've been noticing lately he's started to hit the bottle. He doesn't keep his mind on his work.
Well, if you think it's best, Joe, I hadn't noticed anything wrong.
Oh, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Now, you get some sleep. There'll be a lot to talk over, Florence. Yes, we'll want to change the plans for the winter camp, but I think we can do better with the railroad.
Joe, please. Let's make it tomorrow. I'm tired.
Oh, sure. Yes, there's plenty of time, Florence. And don't you worry. We're going to work out everything.
Yes, Joe, you'll work out everything. Florence is even more dependent on you than you thought. And you won't have to walk a tightrope for long. You're stepping off the high wire, aren't you, Joe, to high finance. You'll be running the Colonel Stedman show soon, making all the decisions as easily as your decision that Harry was through. It's working out perfectly, isn't it? Exactly as you knew it would before your old friend, Colonel Stedman, met with his unfortunate accident. You're very sure of yourself the next morning as you return to the luxury of the wood-paneled railroad car to take over at the late Colonel's desk. And then about 10 o'clock, you have a caller.
Mr. Zantini, the great Zantini, at last we meet, come face to face. My pleasure, Mr. Zantini.
What's the pitch, mister?
Oh, of course, you wouldn't know. Sorry. My name is Drum.
How'd you know me? To catch the act or something?
Oh, no. It's Professor Drum. I am a mind reader, Mr. Zantini.
Oh, sure. Well, what's on your mind right now?
Your employer, Mrs. Stedman.
She isn't around. She stays at a hotel downtown.
Oh, but she's coming in today. 10:30, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, she is. Now, look, Professor...
Terrible about her husband. A tragedy.
Oh, you read about that, huh?
Later, yes. But I knew at the time. Premonition, you know.
You read about it.
I know also that she needs me. Florence, Mrs. Stedman, she was in Carnival. I'm of the Carnival. We're old friends.
That was a long time ago, Professor. She doesn't need anybody.
Oh, but you're mistaken, very mistaken. You're a man of nerve, steel, action. I'm a man of the heart, the soul, the mind. She needs me.
I'm handling things for her right now. If you've got any ideas...
Ideas? No, Mr. Zantini, I'm only here to comfort a lonely soul.
Oh, comfort, huh? You wouldn't figure that with the colonel out of the way, Mrs. Stedman might be a soft touch, nothing like that.
I assure you, Mr. Zantini, I don't share any of your thoughts.
Well, what's that?
I'm merely a mirror, Mr. Zantini, a reflection. a sounding board for others to throw themselves against. Their thoughts and dreams, their desires, all unfold in my presence.
Ah, skip it. You're not talking to a sucker that paid admission.
Oh, no. You don't have to explain to me. No, you didn't pay admission. You came in when the poor colonel went out.
Now listen, I've been around this show a long time.
Certainly, Joe. You too are an old hand. I believe I fully understand. Everything. No, thanks.
What?
You were going to offer me a cigarette. Weren't you, Joe?
Isn't it, Joe? After all your careful plans, Colonel Sudman's death, the arranged to appear like nothing. Your friendship for Mrs. Stedman and her need for someone to run the circus. Only now there's someone else to contend with. The smiling, gray-eyed professor who pretends to read your mind. You've got to get him to move on, Joe, out of Florence's life. And later, when the two of you are having a nightcap in the cocktail room at her hotel after the evening performance, you bring the subject up.
Florence, this Professor Drum, what's he hanging around for?
The professor? Well, like he says, Joe, he's a dear friend.
You mean he was a dear friend?
Real friendships don't fade. Do you think so?
Oh, friendship? With that faker? Why, even his acts are phony. Tea leaves and a crystal ball. A lot of mumbo-jumbo, if you ask me.
I didn't ask you, Joe.
Oh, so that's how it is.
Joe, please, sit down. Really, I can't understand why you even give him a second thought.
But it's you I'm thinking about, Florence. I guess where you're concerned, it's more than running the business.
That's nice, Joe.
Maybe when you're around somebody too close, you might not figure it, but... you must have some idea I felt about you the past couple of years.
Let's not talk about it now.
Okay. We'll move it down on the list. So, until you want it differently, I'm strictly a shoulder to cry on.
You're wonderful, Joe.
Haven't you heard the great Zantini? Anyway, the professor will be moving on, won't he? You won't be seeing him anymore.
Professor Drum? But, Joe, I gave him a job.
You what?
That's all he wanted, to be in our sideshows. I knew you wouldn't mind.
It's the three of spades, ladies and gentlemen. Three black-lidded shovels. Connect! The hand is quicker than the eye, my friends, but the mind is instantaneous. Read a card, read a mind, read a soul. And now who's next? Step up, write up, private consultation, $1.50. How about you, son? I can give you the telephone number of that bubble dancer you're thinking about. And who is next? Who's next? Private consultation inside, only $1.50. Your thoughts today predict your future tomorrow. Only $1.50.
I'll take one.
Customer and all dressed up. Let the gentleman through, please. This way, sir. Inside the tent, inside your mask.
Excuse me, would you let me through, please? Thanks.
Right over here, sir. Sit down by the table.
Oh. I caught you napping, huh, Professor? Didn't know it was me.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Zantini. Yes, I'll take that cigarette now.
Okay, I was going to offer it. Here.
Thanks.
Like.
Thank you, Mr. Zantini.
You can make that Joe, I guess. Seems like you're one of us now.
Yes, it was nice of Florence to put me on.
Sure. That's a good act you got there, Professor. Smooth, the hands of them a laugh. Phony or not, you carried off okay.
Still not a believer, are you, Joe?
I said I liked it.
There are tricks in every trade, you know. Now, take your act. High up over the ring, there is a tiny platform that only you stand on. There's equipment there, paraphernalia, that the audience never gets a close look at. But, Joe, you still walk that high wire, don't you?
Professor, you don't read minds.
I am disappointed. Joe, you see, I know you think about money a great deal. I know you worry about the circus, how to handle it, how to keep Mrs. Stedman in line.
Now, wait a minute.
Why don't you want anyone else to come near her, Joe? Could it spoil something, interfere with your plans?
Florence has been telling you things.
How do you know you're not telling things, Joe, to the whole world? Handing them an open book with every action, everything you say.
Ah, is that what I'm doing?
You're spilling ashes on your coat, Joe. Here's the tray.
I asked you a question.
I wonder if it wouldn't be better to ask Harry, the man you had fired. Harry must know something about you.
Ah, that's it. Harry. He sent you here. He wised you up.
To what, Joe? I only know Harry as an animal trainer, an old-timer. Like that elephant that had to be shot. Like Colonel Stedman who had to die. And all because of a man's conscience. The things in his mind, his ambitions.
Where's your dressing room, Professor?
Funny, but I'm not sure what you're thinking now.
I'm thinking you'd better change out of that outfit, climb into your street clothes. Because we're going downtown.
Oh?
Yes. We're going to talk to Florence. She hired you. She might as well have the privilege of telling you you're through.
Like Harry?
Like Harry, like the elephant, any way you want to put it. And that's the way it's going to be, Professor. Now let's go see Florence. Together.
You don't even speak to Professor Drum as you sit side by side driving toward town. You're almost afraid to think, aren't you? Because of the effect this quiet, probing little man has upon you. You run the car into the alley parking area behind the hotel, and the two of you enter by the back way, let yourselves into an automatic elevator, and ride up to the 14th floor.
After you, Professor. Ah, go on, knock.
She isn't in.
You should have known that, Professor. It's only 5 o'clock. She's out shopping.
You insist on waiting?
Yes, there's a terrace here at the end of the hall. We'll wait there.
All right. You're so tense, Joe. Why don't you relax?
I got things on my mind.
I know.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
You're a difficult man to convince. Ah, look at that view. Beautiful.
Yeah.
The city laid out at our feet, inviting us to examine it, learn its secrets.
Who are you, anyway? Why do you talk like that?
I've told you. I'm a man of the heart, the soul. You know, I don't believe you'll ever understand me completely.
You're not a detective. Because if you are, it doesn't make any difference. There isn't any evidence. There's none at all.
Evidence? About what?
Cut it, Professor. You might as well level. All along, ever since you come around, you've been driving at the same thing, that I killed Stedman and made it look like the elephant did it. You've been trying to get me to crack up, admit the whole thing.
And are you cracking up, Joe? Is this such a confession?
See, the same and I, as I always did. It was an accident. The elephant, he got mad and trampled him.
Poor beast.
He was a killer.
I wonder.
You can stop wondering.
In my profession? Oh, really, Joe, I might as well attempt to stop breathing every other hour.
You're trying to handle something that's too big for you, Professor. You ought to lay off. The circus always takes care of its own.
Very true, Joe. But how odd. How very odd for you to say that.
Why?
I wonder if it's because you sense inside that you're going to fall, that you can't get away with it.
Oh, you're wrong, Professor. I'm not going to fall, but you are.
Oh, now, don't be a fool, Joe.
Fool? To set you up, I'm sick of it. I can't take any more. If I kept it up much longer, it might crack up.
Let go of me, Joe. Florence will be back and she'll see
you. She won't be around till 6:30. You ought to know that.
You ought to know why I brought you down here in the first place.
Leave me alone.
You've guessed plenty, haven't you? But not everything. Not enough to know how I'm going to handle it.
You won't get away with this, Joe.
You don't think so? Well, I do, Professor. I do, because it's going to look like suicide. I'm going to give the crowd down in the street a little performance before I shove you over.
You're not making sense.
Oh, no. What's happened to your act, Professor? Too scared? If you weren't, you might have it figured out. Might guess how I'm going to knock you cold and put your coat on and your hat. And then get them to look up and see me standing out there on a ledge.
Zantini?
Ah, yeah, the great Zantini. Only they won't know they're looking at Zantini. They'll think it's you. And later they'll find you down there.
You did kill Colonel Stedman, didn't you?
He was in my way, and now you are. It's that simple.
And Joe,
I'm knocking you out, Professor. Like I said, you've read your last mind.
Yes, Joe, at 5:30, the rush hour, you brought the traffic around the intersection at Maple and 19th Streets to a standstill. Caused a crowd to gather, to point up at the figure of a man balanced precariously on a building ledge 14 stories above them. It was a good performance, wasn't it? It brought the police. And when you slipped back inside and hid in the linen closet, the impression was complete. A suicide who'd lost his nerve escaped. But he was to change his mind again, wasn't he, Joe?
Yes.
Because later, when the crowd was gone, you dragged Professor Drum's unconscious body from the linen closet and pushed it over the terrace. And that's all, isn't it, Joe? You're in the clear again, with no one around to ask questions about Colonel Stedman's accident. No one to interfere with your plans to take over. Do Florence's thinking for her in managing the circus. It's only 2 hours later that you and Florence are called down to the city morgue to talk to the officers who found the body.
All right, folks, that's all we'll need from you. Sorry, Mrs. Stedman, but we had to have identification.
Oh, it's okay, officer. We were glad to come. And we'll handle the funeral arrangements. The circus always takes care of its own.
So I've heard. Good night, folks.
It's even more simple than you'd anticipated, isn't it, Joe? You comfort Florence on the drive back to the circus grounds. Leave her at the office car, and then rush to your dressing room to dress for the show. You smile as you think of the little professor. His dreams and suspicions have ended, haven't they, Joe? On a slab at the morgue, with only an official police check for his last rites.
Any more on that one, Dave?
Come. Not much. Definitely suicide. Look at this. Found it in his coat pocket.
A file?
Yep. Particles of steel sticking to it. This pocket was half full of steel filings.
Oh, that's funny. A mind reader, and he was filing through something made of steel. I wonder what it could have been.
Sorry, I can't steal the guy's act. I'm no mind reader.
Has been a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.